Now we move on to the second reading, which carries on from 1 Thessalonians. Last week, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 to 4. Now we pick right up 1, 5 to 10. And Paul is recalling his preaching among them and the results. Huh? And so he says, you know what sort of people we were among you for your sake. As you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction. You see? And so you became a model. And so you see, our evangelion, our preaching of the gospel, wasn't just words. This is important, because this is the whole concept of the power of the word. Huh? But it was in power and the Holy Spirit, and probably pleroforia. I forgot how they translate it in this text. But it means great confidence, fullness, that sort of an notion, okay? As you know, what we were like among you. So he's recalling now this experience of conversion. We came to you. Now you can see how powerful the word is when it's carried in a person's heart. It's not just telling somebody something because it's my job, or I don't know why. I know this, and I know how liberating and joyful it is, and I want you to know it. So I've come to Thessalonica. I never heard of this town before. I've never been here before. I can only speak well to the Greek speakers here, but I want to tell you, you see, that we were not just speaking words, but it was power and the Holy Spirit and conviction that we were preaching. As you know what we were like among you. Okay. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Just what a mentality, you know. If I am preaching away so that they will imitate me, I'm useless. If I'm preaching so they'll imitate Jesus, then I'm doing something. And we got to, if at the end of my preaching they say, oh, Father, you've convinced me, I've got to say, what do you mean by that? Well, that was the greatest sermon I ever heard. What do you mean by that? Did the Word of God, did the Lord Jesus take over your heart? Then it was a success. Otherwise, I could have told the funniest jokes in the world. It means nothing. And so, you see, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. You received the Word. Notice, the whole gospel is summed up the Logos, the Word. You received the Word in great tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice, even now receiving the Word, this is Thessalonica. It's an average Hellenistic town. You know, all of a sudden, these weirdos show up, and they're Jews, so we already know they're weird. And they start talking not only about Adonai and all that stuff, but about Jesus. And so, once a week, who ever heard of this? Taking a day off once a week. The only people who do it are the Jews. And now you're doing it, the day after they do it. You're crazy. I mean, you've only got this life to make money, take care of your wife. What are you doing? A lot of Christians are doing this today, right? But then, they were oddballs. So they were persecuted. And you're getting this weird idea that Jesus is God and he feeds you on his body and blood and that you're going to go to heaven and be with God forever. Get real. You know, heaven, God. What are you talking about? So that was, you see, this thlipsis poli, this great tribulation. They were giving you a hard time. And like you might have owed $200 to somebody and he was going to give you another month to pay it back. Now you become a Christian. You pay it today or you go to jail. Harassment, you see? And so you receive the Logos in tribulation. Most of that tribulation comes from ignorance and fear. If those guys are right, I got to change my life. They can't be right. You know, what evidence do I have? Well, sometimes plenty. Healings, miracles, going with the preaching. As Paul said, when we preached, you know, we preached in power. Okay. So that, and the next line after that, so that you became a model for the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you the word of the Lord went forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in the whole region. Your faith toward God, has gone out. So much so, we don't have to tell anybody anything. The word is out. The two Thessalonians have received the Logos του Θεού. You have received the word of God. You receive the message. You get it. Who Jesus is. And you're willing to wait for him to come back and change your lives. Now he's going to have some other things to say to them later on. Like, you know, I hear there are people among you. If the Lord's coming right back, what's the point of working? Why save up money? He's coming back next week. And then he doesn't come back next week. So now you go borrow some food for your neighbor and your buy. He says, no. Work every day at your job and leave the coming back of the Lord to the Lord. You know, be good citizens. Make a good impression. And if you make enough money that you don't need it all, give it away. You know these poor, some pagans down the street, and they're so sick, not a one in the family can work. You got some extra food or money, go on down and give it to them. I'm trying to create for you this environment in which the gospel was first preached, you see? In the whole, in every place, your faith toward God has gone out. So that we don't have to tell anybody anything. They tell us what kind of a welcome or entrance we had with you. And now this is the model of conversion. The next part. How you turned toward God. Epistrepsate proston theon. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There's two things you do to become a Christian. This is the first. See, conversion comes from the Latin words that mean turn. Like shuv in Hebrew means to come back. Conversio means turn. You see? And so, you see, how you epistrepsite, you turned toward the Lord. That's conversion, my friends. If you want to know whether you've ever had a conversion, just look into your own life. Have you turned toward God, away from idols, away from whatever idols you've got? It can be the TV. It can be from pornography. It can be money. It can be alcohol. It can be power. It can be clothes. I can't imagine, but it could be. You know, of course, that's why they keep us all dressed in black. You don't have to think every day, what do I wear today? I wear today the same thing I wore yesterday. It's all off my mind. So, but this, you could be to be slaves to these things. So conversion means I turn from all that and I turn to God. That's conversio. And it's beautifully said here, you see, how you turn to God from idols, going to the temple, feeding the God and hoping he's going to be good to you. You don't do that anymore. To serve the living and true God. Aren't you lucky? You know the one true God, and you serve him, and you know that he responds to you. Look at the way he cares for your family. Look at what he does for you when you have the regular prayer life. He talks to you. You're serving a live God, not a dead idol or a dead ideal or a dead state. You're serving the living God. That's the first part. Okay, I'm serving the living God. Now what does it say? And await his son from heaven. That's the second part. Await for Jesus. Well, I mean, it's been 2,000 years. I can't wake up every morning. It doesn't mean that you await that way only. It means when you get in the car, you turn off the radio and listen to God. Listen to the Lord. Your awaiting is coming into your heart now. Is he going to come back and end the world? Without a doubt. When? Nobody knows. But he wants to change your world. And so, you see, you wait for him from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus. And you wait, you see, by being attentive. If you could do it, try it. At least a half hour in the morning, an hour if you can swing it, every day in prayer. Will some days be boring and dark? Guaranteed. But stick it out. I remember, I think I've told you the story before, one of the lay brothers in the monastery. Hard-working guy, a great man, strong, I used to work with him. Woo! Well, then, I came back from Rome, all educated and intelligent, and he picked me up in his truck. We're going home. So I said to him, you've heard me tell this before. Well, how's it going, bro? And he says, you know, I made up my mind, prayer life or bust. And you would see him in the back of the church, his hands clasped behind him in his cloak with his huge knuckles sticking out, and he would just pray there. So when he died, it was just so peaceful because he'd been waiting for Jesus from heaven every day. So one day, it wasn't practice anymore. It was the real thing. And he went to see the Lord. Wasn't he lucky? He listened to the Lord. He took that job, which was a lot less distracting than the one he had, still serving the brethren beautifully, and he took that job, learned how to curb his relentless energy, and he had a prayer life. You see, he is the one snatching us from the wrath to come. Things are going to get tough. Evil is going to be punished. There is no doubt about it. In this world or in the next, there is no doubt about it. Our God is just. He is not a sleepy old man with a beard. He's the living, eternal God. But if we have been waiting for Jesus, we're not going to experience that wrath. Wrath is the experience of God's love. It is so powerful that if we're not with him, we feel it a rejection. But it's not. But that love is so powerful, if we're not used to it, we run away. We feel rejected. That's the orgi tou theou. And so you see, that's waiting for the Jesus to come. The power of the Word, changing lives, witnessing to your neighbors, and then being able to wait for Jesus every day in a prayer life. Try it.